T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You guys don't know this, but Rob's second favorite position after running back, because you know running back's number one for Rob. He actually came in earlier today, and we were just having some good stories about how much he used to love TJ Duckett and Warrick Dunn. He just loved those early 2000s Atlanta Falcons backfield. And I was like, wow, Rob, I never would have guessed. And he was like, yeah, man. Mike Allstott was also in that division. It was just a great time to be a running back. And I was like, wow, I didn't know this was a thing for you. He was like, yeah, man, you didn't know? I was like, no, thanks for telling me, man. I appreciate you sharing more and more about your life with me. So that's a conversation that we had earlier today. It's a true story. But his second favorite thing to talk about is offensive line. Oh, he loves a good left tackle, right tackle, swing tackle, depth conversation. There's nothing Rob loves more. That's why he wakes up every day. That's why he's chosen this profession, so he can talk about it. So he came up to me. He was like, we got to talk about Donovan Smith. I'm like, all right, calm down. We'll talk about Donovan Smith. Donovan Smith met with the media yesterday, and he said that he's feeling good, man.
Oh, it was a little frustrating. I mean, obviously, you know, I played with a lot more injuries than I probably should have, but you know, it's just something that we do. You know, we go out there, we sacrifice our bodies to go out there for the greater good of the team. Unfortunately, we didn't, you know, finish the way that we wanted, but you know, it is what it is. But you know, new beginning, new journey. I'm healthy, I'm fresh, and I'm feeling real good.
You know what, I like hearing that. New beginnings, new journey. I'm in a new city. I feel good. I'm with a great team. I love hearing that energy from him, man. Congratulations to him. Is Donovan Smith the biggest question mark on the team? I think it's either him or Kadarius Toney. And I don't really think that it's particularly close. I don't really think that they have one on defense. I mean, you can maybe argue it's Uzama, if he's going to be a starting off defensive lineman for you. But if that's your biggest question mark, okay, on defense. We know what they are at corner. We know what they are at linebacker. They're pretty safe and secure at safety. There's not a whole lot of question marks that I have about the Kansas City Chiefs on the defensive side of the ball. On offense, I think there's a couple of main ones. I would say that Donovan Smith is the biggest question mark on the team. And can he bounce back? And what version of him are you going to get? Are you going to get the 2021 version, the 2020 version? If you're getting that guy on a one-year deal, you feel great about your offensive line, and you're probably one of the three best offensive lines in the NFL, and you're probably competing with Philadelphia to wear the title of the best offensive line in the National Football League. Or he could completely flame out, and then they got to figure something out on the fly. Like, what's their plan B if things don't work out with Donovan Smith? Are you moving Juwan Taylor over there? Are you putting Joe Tooney over there and kind of shaking up the offensive line? Like, they've put themselves in a position where Donovan Smith might be one of the five most important players on the team.
I don't think it's five. I think he's one. I think he's one with an absolute bullet. I think it's a no doubt he's the most important player on this team. Because remember that 2 months?
Hold on. Are we leaving Patrick Mahomes out of this?
I mean, let me rephrase that, because Patrick Mahomes is a known commodity. I know what I'm getting from Patrick Mahomes. He's the biggest what if, maybe. I don't, whatever terminology you want, because I know what Mahomes is.
I got you.
Because Remember that 2 months where they signed Jawan Taylor and I was the only one saying, like, are we sure he can play left tackle? And everyone's like, nah, he's an athlete, Rob. He can flip over. I mean, he's going to be better than Orlando Brown. Not a doubt in my mind. What a signing. Brett Veach did again. Jawan Taylor this, Jawan Taylor that. What a star. Well, by the time the Chiefs actually put on helmets and jerseys, we still haven't reached pads yet, but helmets and jerseys, the Chiefs realized Jawan Taylor is not the left tackle they imagined, and they went out and signed one. And if Donovan Smith repeats last year's Donovan Smith performance, which, albeit he battled injuries, but if he repeats that performance, because he's going to be 30 by the start of the season, if he repeats that performance, the way we view the Chiefs season is drastically different. Because now Jawan Taylor, who would have started the season at right tackle, has to switch over, and now you're either having Donovan Smith and him flop, or you're hoping a rookie in Wanya Morris or Mr. Fragile Lucas Niang holds up at right tackle, or maybe you're getting creative and you're moving Tooney around. I don't know what happens if Donovan Smith doesn't return to form. It is a big gamble. Maybe not big, but it is a gamble, in my opinion, to hope he gets back to COVID year form or 2021 form and will be just fine. But if he's not, I think the trickle-down effect is a real problem for this team. So I would say he is the biggest question mark this team has. And maybe the better way to phrase it is, I think the biggest hindrance to them winning a Super Bowl could be their left tackle position.
I mean, I would say, and this is maybe a different way of saying what you're saying, and we agree, I think there were two statements, maybe three statements, that Brett Veach made this offseason. We feel very strongly that Donovan Smith can get back to the best version of himself. We don't think that last year is real. We think that he's going to bounce back and we're going to have one of the better left tackles in the National Football League. Like that, their actions tell me that. They feel very strongly about it. They also said, we really believe in Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore based on the actions that they showed. They waited till the second round and go get a wide receiver. When the run started, they didn't jump up to go get a Jordan Addison. They chose to take Rashee Rice in the second round. And I think we can say, just based on how they've kind of used these rookie wide receivers in year one, I don't know if you're counting a lot of Rashee Rice production in year one. Year two, a different conversation. So we strongly believe in Donovan Smith. We strongly believe that we have enough at wide receiver. And I would also say, hey, we're looking to have one of the best defensive lines in the National Football League. You look at Charles Omenihu and where he is at his stage in his career, you and I both think that at some point this offseason they reach a long-term extension with Chris Jones. They spent the first-round pick last year on a defensive lineman, a first-round pick this year. They have spent an exorbitant amount of resources to have a really strong and productive defensive line. Think about it. We talk about how football is a game that's played in the trenches, how it's a line of scrimmage game. They've told you where they invest heavily in. They haven't invested heavily in corner. They haven't heavily invested in wide receiver. They haven't heavily invested in running back. They've heavily invested on the offensive line. Donovan Smith, Joe Tooney, big contract, second round pick on Creed Humphrey. Over on the right side with the big contract that they just gave Jawan Taylor. Then on the defensive side, the players I just named. They have shown you where they're really willing to spend money. Obviously, Mahomes' contract is its own beast. We're willing to spend market value or better on the offensive line and the defensive line. That's where we're willing to spend our money. That's where our resources are. And we believe if we get those two things right with our quarterback play, we can overcome all the other things. We can overcome being okay in the running back room. We can overcome being okay at wide receiver or not having the best linebacker group in the National Football League. We got to figure out quarterback in the line of scrimmage. I think that's the biggest message that the Chiefs have told us this year.
The Chiefs have always had that message, though. The Chiefs have always valued offensive line and protecting Patrick Mahomes over weapons. And they've always valued the trenches with Brett Veach. I mean, you look at his draft picks. He spends early round picks on in-the-box defenders, or their premium offensive line, premium free agent moves have been around the offensive line, which is why I'm of the opinion that Donovan Smith's most important Chief in 2023, because in the past, the big time moves they've made were big time players. Like, was Orlando Brown Jr. ever a top 10 tackle? No. Does he deserve top 10 tackle money? No. But was he a top 12, top 13 tackle? Absolutely. He just didn't get top five money. That was a known commodity. You knew Orlando Brown Jr. was going to be fine. Joe Tooney might be the best left guard in football. It's left guard, but that's what it is. They drafted a center in the second round in the trenches. They took a risk on Trey Smith. Turned out to be a good one. They drafted a right tackle in the second round. They drafted a right tackle in the third round. They have always invested big resources in offensive line, but it's been a little bit of, hey, we kind of know. This is the first time they're investing in offensive line in a, hey, we think last year was an outlier. They don't know that Donovan Smith will be back to form. They are betting on it, but they don't know. But this is Brett Veach's MO. Invest in the line, invest in the trenches, spend your premium resources at those positions, and figure out the skill position in the back end later.
Text line 913-586-7610. CDOT, if they end up signing Snead to an extension, would you factor in that they took McDuffie in the first round? Would you recant your statement on investing heavily in the cornerback? Yeah, I mean, spending the money. Just up to this point, they've never invested financially into corner. I mean, we wouldn't say that they've invested heavily in running back, even though they used a first-round pick on a player that's currently on their team at running back. Like, no, they got him on a rookie deal. They're spending what in the running back room, Rob? $6 million probably total if we add up everybody's contract. In the wide receiver or in the cornerback room, excuse me, they're not spending a lot of money on corner. Yeah, they spent a first-round pick on one. Investing in corner is paying Snead. That's investing. They've never done that before. They've never paid anybody. Have they paid a corner more than $5 million a year? They invest heavily in left guard. Now, obviously, their way has worked. I'm not criticizing them not for investing in it. But we can look at the way that they build their team, and they have told us what they really care about. They go above and beyond at the line of scrimmage. They brought in their biggest free agent acquisition. Offensive line, their second biggest free agent acquisition, defensive line. They didn't go spend big money on wide receiver. Even last year when they lost Tyreek Hill, they haven't spent big time money on a wide receiver. They've told you, we're concerned with being great at quarterback, being great on the offensive line, and great on the defensive line. And as long as we have those three things figured out, we feel like everything else will fall into place. And just given what we know about football and given what we've seen them accomplish, I don't know if it's that bad of a bet. We got some incredible news a couple of days ago that I want to share with you guys. Stick around. It's The Drive.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this. If you missed any of the show, catch up on the Odyssey app or at 610sports.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The only place in town to hear the hypothetical button game is on The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Now, I wouldn't consider myself to be a big boxing guy, but, you know, I get into it from time to time. We've had a couple of big fights this year. Saw Devin Haney fight Lomachenko. That fight happened last week. A few months ago, we had Ryan Garcia go up against Tank Davis. I watched both of these fights. Very entertained by it. Rob, there is another fight that has been on the docket that people have been waiting for a while. Now, you know, in typical boxing fashion, there is normally a little bit of a pump fake. You know? It don't happen instantly. But you know what? Today, we got the official announcement. Terrence Crawford is going to fight Errol Spence. That fight will be coming up here in about 2 months in Las Vegas, July 29th. Rob, you know what, man? I was thinking about this earlier today. Because I remember after paying for Pacquiao Mayweather, I remember thinking, this is it for boxing. Like, we'll never have this moment again. Like, Floyd came at the right time. Say what you want about Floyd out of the ring, and I'm not a Floyd Mayweather fan myself, but Floyd had a way to draw you in and to get you to click buy on watching him fight. This is pre-Fire Stick, pre-how easy it is to pirate these things. Floyd made you want to go pay for a pay-per-view. I thought we had lost that. I thought it was over. But you know what, man? We've had a really good year in boxing. There's been a couple of fights that you've tried to make it a point to watch, to try to be at the house, to go over somebody's house to watch. And you know what just hit me? I don't care what's going on. You know we're always going to be interested in watching two people fight. I don't know why I thought that that was going to be the end of watching us. We were interested in watching a YouTuber fight. No previous experience, just a big mouth. But you know what? We heard a fight was happening, and we knew at least one of the people. Oh, I've heard of Ben Askren before. Oh, I've heard of Nate Robinson. Oh, they're boxing? Sign me up. I want to watch it. We were willing to watch 50-something-year-old podcaster Mike Tyson fight Roy Jones Jr. in a fight. Have you even seen Roy Jones since that fight? We got to go back to the nasty time quarantine was, and we were willing to watch anything to entertain ourselves. We were watching Mike Tyson fight Roy Jones Jr. in a fight. We were watching Floyd Mayweather fight not even the good Paul brother, Logan Paul. What a bad time that was. We are always going to be interested in watching people fight. So that Haney Lomachenko fight, the pay-per-view numbers are coming out. They had 250,000 views. 250,000, you get those people spending $79.99 to fight, and then you clean up at the door. You can make a lot of money in boxing still. I'm happy that this has happened. I'm all for as many interesting sporting events that could possibly happen. I don't want to make it seem like I'm the biggest boxing fan in the world, but you know what? People are telling me that this is the most anticipated fight since Fury and Wilder 2. So you know what I'll be doing on July 29th? I'll be tweeting it out on my burner account. That's what I'm going to be doing on July 29th because we got to watch this together as a family.
So you're saying that on July 29th, keep an eye out for the Batman gift?
You got to.
How can we have a boxing conversation and you never mention the big fights with Jake Paul? Because I would say one of the problems boxing has is as much as we loved the YouTubers fighting and we loved the COVID times, we watched Snoop on and Kevin Hart do play-by-play of people we've never heard of.
That fight. Was a great time, though. I enjoyed that time.
Those people became the draw in boxing. The casual fan, the person like me, maybe even a couple notches below me, who just like, oh yeah, boxing, that's cool. They are not drawn in by Crawford and Spence. They're not. They're drawn in by Jake Paul and I don't even know the first guy's name, Fury. They're drawn in by
Tyson
that.
Fury.
They're drawn in by the fact that Jake Paul's going to fight Anderson Silva. Oh, I'm excited for this. We are drawn in by stars in boxing nowadays because it's become so niche. And because the stars of the actual sport are not household names, the average fan or someone who just locks in for a Pacquiao versus Mayweather is not locking in for Spence and Crawford. They only lock in for Jake Paul. Boxing needs to promote its stars and not let Jake Paul become a star. That train's left the station. Nowadays, Jake Paul fights will do bigger than this actual legitimate boxing match.
But I would say that boxing is doing a really good job of doing both. And I'd also question, is there room to do both? Like some of you listening paid a decent amount of money to go watch the Savannah Bananas play baseball. The Savannah Bananas could not beat the Royals in a baseball game. If they played the Royals, they would get beat 20-0. But there's room for it, right? They sold out multiple nights out at Legends Field out in KCK. Is there not room for both? Is there not room for the party rap and the hippity hop? If you want to listen to that, there's got to be room for both. I think both are interesting. I do think boxing has done a good job creating stars. Like, Canelo is a star. I'd argue that Terrence Crawford is a star. I mean, the numbers for this, they're going to do 1 million pay-per-view buys. You're telling me in an era in which it is as easy as ever to steal pay-per-views, you're telling me that there could be 1 million people that sign up to spend $100 at home to watch these two people fight? And you and I both know, if you're telling me there's a big fight in Vegas, oh, everybody is going to be there. When they show the wide shot and people who are at the fight. It will be a who's who of stars. There is nothing that brings the stars out like a big-time NBA game or a fight. You know, they got to be seen sitting courtside. It's different at football games. They show you in the suite in the box, but you don't get that look. Oh, those celebrities love to be sitting courtside with the feet on the wood so you could see them sitting there watching the game or being shown at a good fight, and they show you on the Jumbotron. I think you're going to be surprised by the numbers that this fight does, and I think the interest for this is going to be incredibly high. I think you can argue that these are two of the best five fighters in the world that have finally agreed to fight each other. We could be in line for a great trilogy. I'm excited about it.
I don't think there's room for both in boxing. I don't think you can have the Savannah Bananas and Major League Baseball in boxing. I think in combat sports, and I think this is probably unique to combat sports and not team sports, the eyeballs aren't drawn to both. They're drawn to one or the other. So do people watch Olympic wrestling? It's objectively better brand of wrestling. Or do they watch WWE? They watch the WWE. Remember when boxing was down? Everyone's like, oh, boxing's kind of down. You know, they start watching the UFC. And they didn't leave the UFC until boxing made a comeback. People in combat sports only seem to watch one of these entities. They're not watching all of them. The hardcore fight fans are, but there aren't enough hardcore fight fans to make big money in the sport. I think the sport, and really combat sports in general, needs stars. And when they had Conor McGregor, the UFC was hot. When they had De La Hoya, Pacquiao, and Mayweather, boxing was hot. And Jake Paul made boxing hot again. But I think in combat sports specifically, I don't think you can survive in a world where you have the Jake Paul cash grab fights and the real fights. I think you don't get the average to go watch both of them.
Let me play this audio for you guys. Travis Kelce was on his very popular podcast called the New Heights Podcast. I'm sure you heard about it at this point. Travis Kelce was talking about how he feels about the new kickoff rule, and he is not for it.
NFL owners have approved a proposal to spot the ball on the 25-yard line on a fair catch of a kickoff made inside the 25 in the goal line or in the end zone. I think this is absolutely stupid. I don't think this is making the game safer. I think it's making it more boring and taking a lot of excitement out of the game's opening play. This is whack.
Yeah,
but I'm not.
I mean, we're just getting closer and closer to getting rid of special teams. I mean, it's like,
what are we?
The only thing left now is punt. Like, I don't. When is somebody not going to fair catch it and take the ball to 25? Unless it's just a really bad kick.
You know, one thing I've noticed about NFL players when they talk about football, they want the game to be far more physical than the league does. Like, have you noticed that? Like, when you hear players talk about helmet to helmet, or when players talk about roughing the passer, I mean, even quarterbacks think that the league has gone too far in protecting them. Remember Aaron Rodgers? Like, that shouldn't be a penalty. Like, that's not an illegal hit. Players want football to be way much more physical than the people that run football to be. I don't really see the problem with the new kickoff rule. Like, I think we've kind of reached a point that the kickoff is kind of a ceremonial thing. And at this point, the only reason why we still have the kickoff rule is because we've always had the kickoff, and they just don't want to come out and say we have completely eliminated the kickoff rule. Now, maybe the argument would be, hey, this keeps jobs in the National Football League. We need special teams if we didn't have kickoffs altogether. But at this point, what's the percentage of touchbacks? 45%? 50%? At this point, we don't really have kickoffs anyway. And every rule that they do is to water it down and water it down and continue to water it down. I think the NFL at some point just needs to admit that spring football and all these other leagues have come up with a better and safer way to do kickoffs and eventually just do it. But I think the NFL is afraid of looking like they copied the XFL or looking like they copied another league's rules. But the rules that you have in the XFL and USFL about how they do kickoffs and the safety of it, that's eventually what the NFL is probably going to adopt. I don't think the league wants to 100% get rid of kickoffs. They just want to make it basically where you choose to never return kicks back.
I mean, Jason Kelce said it in that cut. We're getting closer and closer to a point where we just eliminate special teams. We're just going to have punts and that's it. Like, maybe they keep the opening kickoff just for ceremony because we get that, you know, that shot in the Super Bowl where the camera's on the up against the yard line and all the flash bulbs pop and it's this big wow moment. But I mean, the last 5 years they have made it harder and harder and harder to have big time special teams plays. And this new rule, I don't like it. I get why they're trying to implement it. I don't think it's whack, to quote Travis Kelce. I don't think it's a good rule, but I get why they're doing it. But the idea that, hey, if the ball lands inside the 25-yard line and we fair catch it, we get it automatically to the 25. Well, why would I just not just say, hey, start the ball at the 25? Why am I kicking off? Just, it's like college football now. Start at the 25. It doesn't matter. We don't care. Start right now. We don't need the kickoff. We don't want the kickoff. It's fine. Just give the ball to 25. Like, special teams is essentially moot now. I mean, what kind of idea is it where you're going to kick it, pooch kick it to the 30, hoping the up back catches it and drops it? No. Just the ball will be at the 25 after every score. That is the new rule in the NFL, essentially, and I don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think you have to do like a risk versus reward, and unless you really need the kickoff to try to kind of get you a little bit of a spark, I don't know why you would return it. Like, I would guess the average, you can just fair catch it, knee the ball, and get the ball at the 25-yard line, or you can try to return it. I'm going to assume that more times than not, you're not going to get it past the 26-yard line, which is what you would need in order to just, hey, we're just going to go ahead and take the 25 yards. I wonder if we're going to start to see that, because you're right, in college football, they basically have it, if you catch the ball and you take a knee, like, you can be in the field of play. You don't have to just be in the end zone. You can just take a knee at the 8-yard line, and they'll just put the ball on the 25-yard line, and we'll just get going. Whereas some colleges have simply told their players, don't return it. It's not worth the risk of it. Let's just take the ball to the 25-yard line, and let's just go from there. I'm with you. I do think we could eventually see the point where we could just see teams say, hey, returning kicks is not part of our strategy anymore. Like, we're not building our roster for special teams, guys. We're putting more of these kind of players on there because we have de-emphasized kick coverage and kick returns. That is not part of how we're going to build our roster and build our team anymore.
The Chiefs should be one of those teams, by the way. If that is where we're going in the NFL, the Chiefs should de-emphasize the kick return because, you know, you always talk about the bird in the hand versus the one in the bush. Give me Patrick Mahomes and the ball at the 25 as opposed to the risk of something terrible happening.
Especially
Sky Moore
year, they
fumble.
Catch
yeah.
the ball half the time.
Or you try to return it out of 5 yards deep and you get tackled at the 17-yard line. You just lost 8 yards and made it harder on Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs should be one of these teams that say, screw it, we'll take the ball to 25 every single time. Sorry, Dave, we're fair catching.
Coming up on the other side, I saw a very interesting question, one that we all have been in the middle of. I'll tell you what it is. Keep right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
If James Bradbury didn't want that meme, you know what? He shouldn't have held it.
Brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
You're listening to The Drive with burger connoisseur Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio.
So you guys know how on Twitter, if you're on there, over on the right-hand side, it'll show you what's trending, like what people are talking about. Well, there were two things that were trending that I want to tell you guys about if you weren't, you know, hip to the Twitter sphere earlier today. Number one, cookout was trending. I was like, all right, why is this trending? So I clicked on it, and someone had asked a question. What's the difference between a cookout and a barbecue? Now, I think this is very simple, but maybe you disagree. To me, the difference between a cookout and a barbecue is simple. At a cookout, the only things offered are hot dogs and hamburgers. Nothing wrong with the cookout. You got a couple of the fellas coming over. You guys are going to be out on the back deck, going to listen to some music. Maybe you're going to have the game on while you're watching it. You're just going to be sitting out on the patio, you know, being men, you know, smoking a cigar, drinking, you know, man stuff. If you only have hot dogs and hamburgers, you are participating in a cookout. I'm not hating on a cookout, but that is a cookout. A barbecue is where you start to get a little creative. You throw a couple of shrimps on the grill. You put some lobster tails on the grill, you know? You put them little shish kebabs on the grill. You know, you start getting a little fancy. You put the chicken on there. That's the difference between a cookout and a barbecue. Some of you may also have been confused. I thought that this was pretty straightforward, but that's why I'm here to help people. That's my service to you guys, is to help you if you were a little bit confused. But that's the difference. Cookout. Hot dogs, hamburgers, some chips, some beer, just regular, just a gathering. A barbecue, yo, y'all doing it big. This weekend, you guys are going to barbecue. You know, you're putting the brisket on there and the pulled pork. You got grandma making potato salad. That's a barbecue, in my opinion, Rob.
Did you mention a cookout and music?
2, 3, here we go. Don't want to wait till the sun.
Because this will play at both, right? This kind of jam plays at both a barbecue and a cookout. This is both. This is universal, right?
Are you going to play this song anywhere around me? Because I'm guessing at some point, and I mean, I think you and I have got to the level of friendship that you'll be like, hey, Carrington, I want you to come to my bachelor party. Hey, Carrington, I'm considering you being in the wedding. I don't know. You and I haven't talked about it or not. I'll feel a little bit away if I don't get invited to your bachelor party if it's here in the city. But you know what? The wedding might be for longtime friends and family members. I'm not going to feel away about it. But I'm telling you, if at any moment that song plays around me, I'm leaving. I don't care what is happening. You guys could be in the middle of dancing at the reception. If that song comes on, I'm walking out and I'm taking my gift. I'm going right over there to the table and I'm grabbing my gift, my things, and I'm leaving. Don't play that song around me ever again. Please don't.
I mean, that is a tried and true. That will be at every event. That'll be at bachelor party, obviously. I mean, at some point in the bachelor party, we're going to be outside with good vibes and beer. Boom, cookout song. Definitely at the wedding because we want the vibes to be up to a 10. I mean, I'm going to be surprised if I don't walk down the aisle to that song. It's an elite musical choice.
You know what? If you walk down the aisle to that song, I hope she leaves you. I hope she leaves. I hope she leaves. You know what? I'm going to call Binkley back and I'm taking the under. I'm taking the under. That's what I'm doing. I'm taking the under if that's what happens.
I will say, though, real answer, though, I've always thought like a barbecue is like you're smoking something or you're cooking ribs or barbecued foods. Like you mentioned lobster and shrimp. That still falls in cookout category for me. Chicken is a...
Wow, I didn't know that.
Chicken can go either way. But if you're making like barbecue chicken or you're smoking some wings... That's in a barbecue. But if you're just like, you know, a shish kebab, no, that's a cookout. The difference is like, it's like someone is making a homemade version of Gates versus you're making burgers, brats, shrimp, whatever have you. It's barbecuing versus cooking on a grill.
Yeah, but see, this is where I would maybe disagree a little bit. To me, the lobster and the shrimp, they're just like a extra, like, hey, we really getting, like, you don't have hot dogs, hamburger, and then lobster tails. You know what I mean? Those don't all go together. Like, if you throwing the lobster tail on there, you've already had some ribs. You've already put some brisket on there. You've already put some wings on there. You've put some other stuff on the grill. You can do a cookout for about $20 or $30, you know? You get those little frozen little meat pucks, and you put that there, and you know, you can do a cookout relatively cheap. You can't do no barbecue cheap. Have you been to the grocery store and seen the meat prices? You can't do a barbecue cheap.
Let me ask you a question then, because you said if you get the shrimp and the lobsters, there's things happening. Let's say you go to someone's cookout and they've grilled some chicken, and they like a nice grilled chicken. They've grilled some steaks, lobster, and shrimp. Apparently, you're going to a cookout in Hallbrook, but let's just say that happens. That a cookout or a barbecue? Because there's been no barbecued meats. Steak, chicken, lobster, and shrimp. What are you at?
I would call that a barbecue.
I would call that a cookout.
Yeah, I'd call that a barbecue.
Yeah, that's a cookout. No smoke, no barbecue.
Yeah, I would consider that a barbecue. Yeah.
So you judge it based on the meats,
yeah,
not 100%. The actual cooking process. Okay.
100%. Because to me, a cookout is something you can just very easily plan. That's the difference to me. Like, if you go tailgating and you bring a small grill, you're not making anything extravagant. Hey, we're going to bring the little mini grill here. Hey, bring some hot dogs, put some hamburgers on here. We'll sit out here and we'll do it. We will have our own version of a cookout. That's to me the difference. What's offered is what separates the cookout from the barbecue, in my opinion. A lot of people are on your side, though. If you're not putting some type of barbecue sauce on the meat, it is not a barbecue. It's a cookout. I disagree. I think it's what are you offering at this?
I'm a firm it has
because
to be a barbecue.
Quickly though, like you say, you don't put barbecue sauce on the meat. If you put steaks on there. Like, I wouldn't put barbecue sauce on my steak. I would consider this to be a barbecue. Hey, we got hot dogs, hamburgers, we got some steaks, we got some chicken. I would consider that to be a barbecue.
Now, see, I wouldn't eat barbecue with sauce with steaks either. I think it has to be either barbecue sauce or the style of cooking. Like, if you have one of those, like, little green egg smokers and you're making a pork butt all day for people, you might not be the biggest pulled pork fan, but I've made barbecue. If you come over and I'm like, you know what? I got some flank steak and we're going to do flank steak tacos or flank steak sandwiches. That is not a barbecue. That is a cookout. I have cooked it. I have not barbecued it.
Flank steak tacos. Hold on. It's a lot, man. It's a lot.
I mean, you talked earlier about a shrimp and lobster tail one, so apparently we cook out exclusively in Mission Hills.
Yeah, no, I mean, especially some shrimps. Now, the lobster tails, that's a once in a blue moon, but the shrimps, it ain't nothing to throw a couple of shrimps on there. My uncle loved to throw some shrimp on there. All right, so that was the first thing that was trending. The second thing that was trending, Rob, was Red Lobster. And I was like, what happened to Red Lobster? Well, your guy, Jonathan Major... Is he still in trouble with the law? Is he still in trouble?
I don't know. I have a Marvel.
I don't know what's going on with Jonathan Majors. I have absolutely no clue. Want to talk about elite bag fumble? Jonathan Majors might be at the top of the list. So Jonathan Majors, he has a new girlfriend. He is dating Megan Good. Do you know who Megan Good is?
Yes.
You didn't say that with a lot of confidence because
this
might be a Two Americas person. Do you know who Megan Good is? Have you seen a movie that Megan Good is in?
Is Megan Good in that movie, based on the Steve Harvey book where it's
like,
She is in Think Like a Man.
Yeah, she is.
Think Like a Man. She's the one that dates the guy from Smart Tech, right? Isn't that her?
That's one way of describing it.
I couldn't think of any actor's name in
okay,
that movie.
You've seen the movie.
I panicked.
You're
yes.
familiar with
I'm
it.
I'm familiar with the movie. Okay. I know the film. I did enough there to prove I know the film.
Okay, you do know what it is. So Jonathan Majors and the girl from Think Like a Man who is dating the dude from Smart Tech, they are now in a relationship. Well, they went out on the town, Rob, for some seafood. They went to Red Lobster. Is Red Lobster in 2023 an acceptable date spot? Is Red Lobster acceptable? Because I think that it is. I love Red Lobster. I will not allow any Red Lobster slander while I'm around. Good old Lobster Fest with the Cheddar Bay biscuits. The salad is good. Of all of the chain restaurants that you could go get somewhere to eat, Red Lobster is number one on the list. Number one with a bullet point. I absolutely think that you can go on a date in 2023 to Red Lobster.
I think you and I can. I don't think Jonathan Majors can. I think if you make the kind, I mean, he may be out a little money because of we think he might be in trouble with the law. I haven't really followed that. But, like, he and Megan Good are in a different tax bracket than us. They just are. She was in Shazam, by the way. So the text line says that. I've seen her in Shazam. So that was a better way to say it. You can't be making multi-millions and then be going to Red Lobster.
You're telling me that you can reach a level of wealth in which you're too good for the Cheddar Bay biscuits?
Yes.
Like tomorrow, if Patrick Mahomes and him and his family were at Red Lobster, we would judge Patrick Mahomes. If he came on this show and said, you know what, I love the Cheddar Bay biscuits. You're telling me that you can accumulate so much wealth that you aren't in for the Cheddar Bay biscuits anymore? No. No, you can't do that. Those Cheddar Bay biscuits are to die for. A1 table food. No, you can always go get the Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Let me ask you a question about your Patrick Mahomes analogy. Let's say Patrick Mahomes came on this show. It's the end of training camp. We're like, hey, how'd you spend your offseason? He was like, yeah, I went to Shrimp Fest at Red Lobster.
And I'd be like, yeah, a real one.
And he's like, I dipped every shrimp in the restaurant in ketchup. Are you judging him? Because I think, based on your silence, you would judge him. So, yeah, you can be judged for going to Red Lobster.
Yo, Patrick,
them's the rules.
On, Patrick, what's going on? Let's talk through this. You couldn't use the cocktail sauce that was right there. The tartar sauce is right there. I would judge that. I would definitely judge that.
Is Red Lobster your go-to, you know, chain restaurant? Because we know what Binks is. Like, Binks is a well-known thing.
Yeah, it's my favorite by far. I love Red Lobster. I've been to Red Lobster in the last 90 days.
What?
I've been to Red Lobster recently.
Was it Shrimp Fest and I just didn't know about
it? Yeah, I was in there. I was like, I haven't been to Red Lobster in a while. Let's go. Let's go to Red Lobster. Hold on. Patrick Mahomes could definitely go to Red Lobster. Patrick Mahomes is married with two kids. You know, you want to know who Red Lobster is advertising for? people like Patrick Mahomes.
I think it's
married
different.
Hold on. Two kids.
Hold on. It's different going with your kids. It's a family outing.
You going as a family.
You say it's okay to go there on a date. If he took his wife to Red Lobster and started dipping the shrimp in ketchup, that would be a cry for help, not a sweet date.
Somebody on the text line says, C-Dot, how could you have a promo saying that you can't be a man with a good-paying job and eat corn dogs? Red Lobster is the corn dogs of seafood restaurants. No, it's not.
It's the Applebee's of seafood restaurants.
No, it's not. We're not going to disrespect Red Lobster in my presence. Not with the Cheddar Bay biscuits, where the salad is fresh. Go in there and get you a frozen margarita. Great drink. A lot of you were saying that, a lot of you were trying to equate Red Lobster and corn dogs, and I don't like it. Number one, a corn dog is a hot dog in some unidentified wrapping.
Number two, Red Lobster.
We're getting lobsters fresh from the sea.
Stop
it. You guys remember when you would walk into Red Lobster and they would have the lobsters right there in the front fighting for the Hunger Games to see which one was going to stand the tank the longest? They go over there. They pick up your lobster. They go in the back, chop it up, and serve it to you right there fresh.
First off, there's no way. First off, I'm stunned. I'm appalled. You have no idea how they serve lobster. They don't chop it up in the back.
I'm telling you how they serve the lobster at Red Lobster. I don't know where you go get lobster from. I have no clue where you get it from. But I'm telling you what they do at Red Lobster is fresh. They get a delivery every day straight from Maine.
If you want red,
the freshest of ingredients.
If you want Red Lobster quality lobster, head to your local Sam's Club and go to the frozen section. I guarantee it's the same.
Someone on the text line says those Cheddar Bay biscuits are trash. You guys want to get blocked on the text line. You want to get blocked. You want to. I don't know why. There's no reason for me to block you. There's no reason. I don't want to block you. But that's the kind of statement that triggers me and makes me want to block you. Let's just continue our food conversation. The segment's almost over anyway. I actually have a theory. This is a good theory to run by you. It's a really good theory to run by you. If we are excluding barbecue places, so let's take barbecue places out of this conversation, all right? I think Logan's Roadhouse is the most popular restaurant in Kansas City.
No.
Hold on. Listen to this. Did you read the article that was in the Star? Do you know how many Logans are in the Kansas City metro area?
There's no way I would know that knowledge.
Just take a guess. How many Logans do you think are in Kansas City?
25.
Seven. What? Almost every neighborhood in town has a Logan's. Tonight, when you get off work, Rob, drive by the Logan's parking lot and see how many people are in the Logan's parking lot. Go see how many people there is.
The number two.
I'm serious. If you take barbecue places out of it, I really think that Logan's Roadhouse is the most popular in the city.
No.
Or Texas Roadhouse.
Texas
or whatever
Roadhouse.
It is.
I knew you meant. Yeah.
Yeah. Texas Roadhouse.
No, it is not the second most popular.
I never drove by and seen it. It's almost like Andy's. You've never driven by Andy's and not seen there be a long line.
That is true. Andy's is definitely high on the list. But you're discounting a place like The Peanut, which is always crowded at every location across the metro area. The Peanut is more popular than Texas Roadhouse. Stop it.
Okay. I'm just, that's what I think. I think that it's, I'm telling you, tonight when you go home, drive by one of these things, man. Just drive by and just see what happens. And you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. They just built another one. Did you see the one they just built up north over by the movie theater at Barry Woods? Packed to the brim. It's like the largest one in the country. I'm telling you, man. Texas Roadhouse. Most popular restaurant in the city. Can't get enough of it. Good family meal.
I mean, I would say Texas Roadhouse is a better date spot than Red Lobster.
No.
What do you mean no? Drinks are stronger. It's cheaper. You can still get seafood. The meat's better. If you're going on a date and you said, hey, I have to choose between Red Lobster and Texas Roadhouse to take this girl out to really impress
her.
No,
she's mad if you take her.
You are taking her to Texas Roadhouse.
No, she's mad if you take her there. Tonight, ask... Right now, text your fiance and ask her tonight, which one of these places would you rather go to? Text her right now.
I'll text her right now.
right now, everybody on the text line, 913-586-7610. Ask your girlfriend right now, where would you rather go eat tonight? What's a better place to go on a date? Is it Texas Roadhouse or Red Lobster? It will be unanimous. Your girl will tell you Red Lobster.
No, it would definitely be Texas Roadhouse.
We're going to find out. You want to put a wager on it?
I would.
You want to put a wager for whenever Caroline replies?
I would.
And what
wager
she says? Because I'm willing to do that.
I will. I'll, you know what? Because I'm a nice guy, if you're right, I will clear your Ronald Jones debt.
Oh, you know what? You know, you're a good guy, man. You're a good guy. I haven't paid that off yet.
Not yet.
Oh, come on. I just got you a gift this week. What are we talking about? I just handed you something earlier today. Now I haven't paid.
To be fair, Pete's a more criminal offender. Pete is 2 years in the
Pete's
hole.
The worst. Pete is what you guys think I am. I'm That's serious. Fair. Text your wife right now, 913-586-7610, and ask her, which one would she rather go on a date? Would she rather go on a date to Texas Roadhouse or Red Lobster? And you'll see. She's going to tell you it's Red Lobster. Somebody said, I'm not doing that because then she'd think we're going to eat later. All right, good point. I'm not here to get you in trouble. I'm not here to do this. I'm telling you, look at the text line.
Texas Roadhouse. Boom.
All right, let me see it. Fake news. Fake news. That's what I'm calling. I'm calling absolute fake news. Coming up at the top of the hour, Rob and I debate who is the most underrated player on the Kansas City Chiefs. Keep right here. It's The Drive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.